Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to The Scope. And now, here are your hosts, Jared, Adam, and Shane.
Hey, everybody. Shane here. The Scope is here. It's 2:13.
Who else is with you?
You are. And that guy over there.
Hi.
A.K.A. Jared. And Adam.
How's it going, everybody? Thanks for tuning in here. Shane here in the Ween. Drive time, AM 780.
42 in the Metroplex. Guys, this is our third show in a row.
My new chair is performing ably.
You love it?
Yeah. By the time we do the third show in the cycle, my old chair, I'd be like, this hurts.
Yeah, my bum hurts a little bit. What about you right now?
Every time we do this show, yes.
I'm ready for it to be
over. Do we need to get you some butt donuts? Some of those donuts?
Yes, I would like that.
Sure.
Maybe I can buy myself a new Scope chair at some point.
Okay. I mean, those things cost us like, what, $20, $30 when we originally bought them 8 years ago or whatever it is, almost 10.
They've performed nobly, but sometimes it's you got to think about the future, Adam.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's all I think about.
I believe that new chairs are our future.
Chairs are our future. Yeah. So, guys, we are back. Every once in a while in the Scope pantheon of episodes, we like to take a step back and sort of talk about what's going on in our lives.
Every once in a while.
Code for once a show cycle, because we don't want to plan more content, we do a catch-up.
Yeah. So so we didn't really talk about what's happened in our summer too much.
Yeah.
So we thought we would flip back, take a look back, and just catch everybody up with what's been going on. Intriguing stories, thoughtful things.
Sort of where we just indulge in ourselves.
I'm going to have something called, on my part of the segment, it's called the Scope Show and Tell, and I'm going to tear open a vein for you guys.
Ooh.
So it'll be very, very exciting. I know Adam's got some news. I don't know about Jared. Maybe he doesn't. Maybe he does.
I have a couple odds and ends. Nothing that will take too much time.
Jared's just happy. He's a happy guy.
Sure.
So I like that. So, guys, that's coming up. We've got coming soon as well, as we often do. But when I say often do, every single time we do a show. So let's take a quick break. And then we'll be back with a lot more Scope, a lot more heartfelt messages, heartfelt, and just all sorts of good stuff on episode 213, right after this.
This is The Funk.
Singing Jimmy Buffett at the top of my lungs. Don't care who's annoyed as long as I'm having fun. Cause I'm a douche in flip-flops.
Chocolate pepper, cherry pepper, cherry vanilla, chocolate pepper, diet vanilla, fusion pepper too. Hacking pepper, fracking pepper, the kind of pepper and pepper spray pepper. Wouldn't you like a can of chemical stew?
You can't get a human on the phone. No, you can't get a human on the phone. To some robot voice, cold as stone. Get you playing games with your touch tone. Can't get a human on the phone.
That's the Funny Music Project at thefump.com. THEFUMP.com.
Chocolate chip ice cream. Oh, gotcha. He says, I'm sorry, we don't have any mint chocolate chip ice cream. So I ate that bitch! I'm a motherfucking T-Rex!
Hey, Scope fans, we are back. Episode 213.
Hi.
We're catching up with the Scope. Scope show and tell. Scope therapy session, whatever you want it to be. Jared is rocking out. He loves it. He loves this music. It's his favorite artist.
It's the best song in the entire GarageBand library.
So, Jared, you teased that you didn't have a lot to share. So let's start with you.
Let's
ramp this bad boy up. What's been going on in your life?
I guess the I went to Omaha for a weekend.
Yes,
visited Angela's family, ate a lot of food, gained 7 pounds.
7 pounds.
Lost it again the next week.
Did you lose it?
Yeah.
Like, lose what? It.
What are you talking about?
I don't know.
He lost it. He worked hard for it.
I had additional weight coming back, and I put it away. or got rid of it the next week.
Did you cut back?
We're doing
on,
like a weight loss thing at work.
Do you know how the actual mechanism through which most of the weight that we lose?
Mm-hmm. You exhale it as carbon dioxide or pee it out.
Yeah. But most of it is breathed out.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
That is so weird.
It is. Somebody pays attention to the internet.
I knew Jared would know that and Shane would not.
I wonder what that says about me.
Not much else has been going on other than the typical standard summer stuff. You know, you got your state fairs, you got your other events going on that you might go to. Nothing remarkable there. I think the biggest event in my life is probably the fact that I have I've completed my 6-month contract at my place of employment and I'm now officially a full-time employee with the same company.
Congratulations. So, give yourself a round of applause for that, Jared.
Just let me switch over to the tab here and I will hit this button here. There we go.
Oh,
a little verbose. I mean, come on.
6 months.
So 6 months.
A little more polite. So yeah, so I'm still there.
You love
doing
it.
Well.
You love it. You're happy.
I'm happy.
People like you.
I'm doing stuff I like to do.
But that's
so there
great.
You go. So
that's
I mean great. I mean we don't need to spend any more time on it than that, other than it's a big deal in my life. I mean, you go back to February when I was laid out from my last job and it was like, ew, what's gonna happen here? I'm not even sure. You know, how I'm going to make this work. And then I got a job a month later, and here we are 6 months past that and still gainfully employed. So
that's a good thing.
We are a remarkably stable trio of guys in terms of employment.
Well, yeah, the job I got laid off from, I was at 15 years.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah.
And you technically, when MarketWatch, when everything happened, you switched companies.
Yeah, but I still have like 16 years total, I think, with all those places.
No.
Although it does not look like that on my resume. They are separated out into different jobs. Because that's good for my career. To show the different things. Haha, yeah. Joke's on them. It's not. Adam, what's going on with you?
Oh. Well, I got a new Lego set.
He's got a new Lego set. I'm looking at this list.
It's a WALL-E Lego set.
Oh,
that was one of those.
I see that one going around.
Was that one of the ones where they have like the vote for the next set? And I think WALL-E was in that. Because I think they had like Golden Girls and WALL-E. And they have like Doctor Who, you know, people submit different Lego set ideas, and I think WALL-E was in that group.
It might have been. Yeah, I know that one of the, like the Ghostbuster.
Yeah, Ghostbusters
Ecto,
was in that.
Ecto
yeah.
One was that. So anyway, it's a fun build. I like WALL-E. It's a great character.
Okay.
I've got World of Warcraft on this list.
I'm looking at your list.
Can I tell you guys about World of Warcraft?
You've got World of Warcraft news?
Yeah.
Uh-oh.
I'm unprepared.
Jared's got to dig in. Pick something else off the list first.
Okay. I went to a WWE show here in Minneapolis in August.
Was that the Raw one?
That was Raw.
Your
was
wife thinking, went with you.
I was thinking of going to that.
You were thinking of going to it?
Yeah.
Jared,
fun.
They're back.
I've been watching. There was this, one of my YouTube guys was playing the video game, and I was sort of like really into wrestling over the summer.
Wow. You know, why did you never tell me that?
I don't know. It didn't come up. We didn't
see. Well, how am I supposed to know? You gotta make it come up.
Jared, they're back in December. If you want to go, I'd go with you.
I whenever you're ready for the World of Warcraft, I'm
oh, I'll talk about it now.
The Scope World of Warcraft update. Remember, burly rockjaw trogs have feelings too.
It's been ages since we've been able to play those.
It has. I'm still not playing WoW. Next up.
That's your update?
That's my update.
Wow.
I like that conceptual bit. I liked it.
Thank you.
The Scope World of Warcraft update. It's okay, Adam. We still like you. Sort of.
Oh.
I mean, they announced the next expansion. I'll probably get it and
not play it.
I'll play it till, you know, I get my character or whatever the max level is and say, okay, that's fine. And
how's Rocket League treating you, by the way?
Man, I suck at that game.
I love that game.
I love it too. Terrible at it.
Are you playing the PS4 version?
Yeah.
God damn it.
You got to figure out your timing, Adam. That's the whole thing in that game.
I know. I can't.
Timing, momentum, and always be faced towards the goal and ball and be able to judge bouncing off
the balls.
I always
keep the ball cam on. Keep it locked.
Oh, you got to lock it on.
Literally, I've never once done a bicycle kick and had it connect.
Hmm.
It's never. I
can do that. I can't figure out how to launch into an aerial. That's a piece I haven't figured out yet.
I don't think that bicycle kicks are very easy on the PS4. Because I think I've done one, maybe.
Okay. I shouldn't. Well, I'm playing against other people on the PS4, and they're doing them.
Aerial stuff is not your.
Hey, there's three of us. We could play. Oh, wait, no.
You and I could, but
you're never playing. Until they figure out how to do a cross-platform party, we're kind of out of luck. We just have to get lucky. I don't want a Java update right now. Remind me later.
I've had pretty good success.
Oh, wait. When you're playing, you are playing against.
You're playing.
There are PC people
versus
there for sure.
PS4,
oh,
sure. You just can't create
that.
A party and find your friends across platform, which is annoying. If there are any Scope players in the audience who are playing Rocket League on
either PC, of those platforms. Yeah.
Let me know.
Or a PS4 and we can friend you.
All right. Well,
I am
of
friends
that,
with Norton, so we have played together.
I bought Diablo 3 was on sale on PS4. And I had it a long time ago and sold the disc because I was like, I'm not playing this anymore. And they've just continued to release new content for it every few months. So it was on sale for $25 or something.
And you got it again.
Man, that game is good. That game is just great. Sit down, 20 minutes, get some new gear, have fun. And then probably the only real big thing is I graduated from my associate's degree in college.
Congratulations. So what does that mean? Does that mean a salary boost?
A little
no.
Boost.
That's the wrong button.
What?
Sorry.
Ooh. Wow, they want more from you. Took too long, Adam.
No. Ain't nobody got time for that.
No.
No salary boost. Just, oh. Just
you just feel good about it.
You're bettering yourself.
Well, yeah.
Did you do that on your own, or was that something that you and Amanda talked about? And
I don't know who Amanda is. But that would be really weird if I talked to Amanda about it. No, that was my own. That was my own thing.
I'm showing how I have no interest in his life is what I'm doing.
My sister has recently gone back to college too. So maybe someday I will.
Really?
Yeah,
I've been thinking about it too.
She's doing some online courses, but you actually graduated. So what are you talking?
I did
about?
Graduate from college.
There's always more.
There's maybe, always more.
Do you want to become Dr. Dr. Scott Palmer or whatever?
I would more than likely be doing it only just to do it. I more than likely not get any sort of salary boost or anything like that, or maybe probably not even get a different job. But
right. I mean, for me, it's in case I ever do. I don't want to get pre-screened out of.
Yep, it's very smart.
That's me. I'm very smart.
Honestly, in my career path, having a college degree doesn't have any effect
at
all.
What can you do for me?
Yeah.
Some places, depending upon where you get the job at in like corporations that may have some sort of a
Target, 3M, any big place, they screen you out if you don't have some basic level. Yep. So it's like, all right, whatever.
Stupid, by the way. Yep.
Did you say what your degree was in?
It's just an associate's in science.
In science.
Just so. But I mean, at an associate's level, it's just liberal arts.
Sure.
At that point.
And then one biology course.
Nope, two biology courses and an astronomy course.
I loved astronomy.
Astrology.
Oh, okay.
I'm really good at astrology.
Astrology? Can you read my cards, please?
How's it looking for Virgo this week?
Oh, bad. Stay inside.
All right. Well, I do that anyway. So
Jupiter's in the seventh moon or whatever, the seventh house.
Yeah.
That's good stuff.
It's all real.
Well, congratulations.
Thanks.
Did you go out and celebrate? Did you have a celebratory dinner?
Well, I don't get my... I told Amanda. I don't get my... we're not going to celebrate until I get to my my paper diploma, which is in... October. So,
and then
this week, I think, based on when we're airing this episode,
very
so
nice.
Also, the name of U2's best album, October.
Mm-hmm. It all comes back to U2, doesn't it? Adam's favorite band of all time.
No,
exactly. Anything else on your list, Adam?
Oh, UB40. Yeah, they were good. Red, Red Wine. Yeah. Just a great cover.
Oh, God, who loves that song? Not me.
Red Wine is on my soundtrack of my life, but not because it's a good song.
Just because it was there.
Because it was there at a moment in my life.
Were you... Was it a sexual... Oh, okay.
No. It's a meaningless story.
Okay.
That means only something to about three people.
So, Shane, you teased that you wanted to monopolize this segment and get real with us.
Yeah.
What happened with you?
So I've talked to you a little bit about this, but
are you playing World of Warcraft?
I am.
I'm sorry.
Finally, I'm in it, and I love it. Why did I wait so long, Adam?
The Scoop World of Warcraft update. Don't Bogart the dazzling Mithril rapier, Adam.
Shane.
Sorry, we don't have a Shane variant.
So this will be interesting, Jared. You and I talked about this weeks ago, but I thought it would be fun to bring up on the show.
I've forgotten what you were going to talk about, so I'm very curious.
This is actually a callback to a bit that I wanted to do on the show that we've talked about many years ago. And Adam, if you recall,
my mom's on the show.
Your mom is behind that curtain. Bring her out. So I talked to you about the fact that I had.
Nope, not that good. Never mind.
Jared is really digging.
I was going to try to play some like music, but never mind.
I told you once that I had I was required in sixth grade to write a journal.
Oh, okay.
I wrote the entire year. Of my sixth grade elementary school career, I had written a journal about things that happened in my life and stuff like that.
What grade did Audrey just start?
fifth grade.
So next year you're going to require the same of her.
I actually told her, I said, I think you should start writing in a journal because I think that you'd appreciate it later. But this summer, my parents have started getting their house slowly ready to be sold because people get old and they
don't. Is your childhood home?
This is not my childhood home. This would be my college home. My parents.
The one in Eagan, right?
Yes. My folks moved from my childhood home my freshman year in college.
Okay.
So I don't have as much sentimental attachment to this house, but they've been there a long time. But anyway, so they're going through occasionally over the past few years, they would call me up and say, hey, we've got some stuff that we don't want to have here in the house anymore. You should get rid of it. We'll get rid of it, or you should come over and get it. And we're kind of getting to the final batches of stuff. I don't have a lot of things in there anymore. And this past, I think it was probably July, my stepmom gave me a call and said, I got a whole box full of stuff and it's got your journal in it. And you should come over and check this stuff out. And, you know, she goes, I think you'll be interested to see what's in there. So, like, yeah, cool, I'll do that. So I went over there, and sure enough.
He's actually got it here.
Here it is, Adam.
Oh.
I got a journal.
What's on the cover?
It says
some drawings?
School journal.
Okay.
I got pencil and paper on there. And it's from 1985.
Kind of looks like a joint. It's got smoke coming out of it.
I clearly did not.
There.
Yeah, I don't really know what that's about.
It's a spliff.
How many penises did you draw in the pages?
And I got smiley faces in the notebook.
You're just a happy little kid.
Yeah. So, yeah, it's got a serious...
What's sixth grade? 10, 11?
I was, probably 11 years old, somewhere in there, 11 to 12 maybe. So I've got this whole listing of stuff. But
you're going to read some selections for us?
So I'm not going to, but this is where the story starts to get interesting. For some reason, I blocked out memories of writing because inside of this box, mixed in with a lot of books and a lot of weird things from Toys R Us that we've talked about that I had that I had saved, found out that I wrote journals, a lot of writing actually that I totally forgot about. My entire high school life, I wrote from.
That's a good Star Destroyer right there on the back of that one.
Like, here we go, robots. But yeah, from like my ninth grade to my senior year in high school, I wrote constantly. I wrote my first few years of college, and even
what'd you write?
So this is very interesting for me, Adam. You guys know that I have always been sort of nostalgia focused in my life. I mean, if you come over to my house and you go into my computer room, you'll see that I'm surrounded by toys that. Represent times in my life which were happy.
Right. We know you're a 7-year-old still to this day.
Yeah, I'm literally an arrested development guy. So
Mr. Wendell or Tennessee? What's the
I think I'm a bigger fan of Mr. Wendell, okay, actually. Sure. I like that song. So I sort of idealize those times and some of that stuff is actually kind of covered in here. Where am I going?
You learn the cold hard truth that it wasn't as good as you thought.
Yeah, but so what I did in
you're these... Like, it's kind of weird gay people can't get married. Yeah. Oh, well.
You're like that couple who has chosen to live like Victorians.
Yes.
On the internet.
So what I found when I was looking through some of these things, and by the way, the week that I found this, it was a very weird time in my life, and I'll kind of get into that. Not a weird, but it was unusual in the sense that my daughter was gone. She was gone on a vacation with some friends for a week, so she was not in the house. And then Carrie was, was sort of doing... things like we were separate a lot, so I had a lot of time sort of I was by myself, which kind of mirrored a lot of what I wrote about at the time. You know, like I was, you know, when I was in college and stuff there, and I'll get into that a little bit, but I was a very isolated kid. I was, you know, I was sort of whatever, you know, I was nerdy and I didn't really have a huge social life. But I found in these books I wrote about two things. Number one was the typical growing up angst. I hate my parents. You know, that raw emotion stuff.
Yeah.
But then
yeah.
I also
wrote about Jared.
I wrote very copious notes about just day to day stuff.
Wow.
Like, oh, today I went to this store and I bought these CDs, or I watched this on TV, or I went to my friend's house and we did this and this and this. It was very specific, and I was reading through it. It was something that was very intentional. I don't know why at the time I chose to do that, but I wanted to give, it's almost like a color analyst and a guy that's doing play-by-play, essentially, in all of this stuff. It was two different levels of thought process that was going on. So it was like an instant time machine for me, all this stuff, because I'm remembering like minuscule, unimportant events with deep clarity that I would have never were gone from my brain. It was just gone, you know. I kind of compare it, the discovery, sort of like when you think of like Cosmos, the TV show, mm-hmm. or like any sort of science show where they're talking about the Earth and the universe. You know, when you're going through it, you're on Earth, and then all of a sudden they pull away, and you see the Earth by itself, and then you see the rest of the planets, and then you see, like, these solar systems. And as you get older, you kind of remember the good stuff, and you forget the bad stuff. You're like, you know, it's just like the solar systems are those bright little spots.
Right.
But when I had these journals, it was like it pulled me right back to those moments in time, both the really good and the really bad stuff that you just sort of forget about. I think people do it out of self-preservation in a lot of ways, because you can't focus on the bad. Otherwise, you're going to be one of those kind of people that are unhappy in life. And
yeah. I mean, the suicide rate would be astronomically high if we actually remember
it. It's a coping mechanism that we have as humans, is you just forget about the terrible stuff.
Yes.
You have to. Otherwise, the weight of all the bad stuff that has probably happened to you over the course of your life would just...
But it was,
you couldn't deal with it.
Yeah, you couldn't. And it was so, I have to tell you, Adam, it was so overwhelming to like look through this stuff. And, you know, you see this process of your life and things that you did right and things that you did wrong, and try to deal with those sort of things. Like, geez, Louise, you know, if I just would have been more assertive at this point, or if I just would have done this little turn, my life would have been completely different. Now, keep in mind, you sort of have to go through that to get to where you're at. And you can't change any of that stuff anyway, even if you wanted to.
And you're totally happy with your life.
Of course I am. Of course I am. And I said this to Jared when I was talking about this. I said, when I got done looking at this stuff, it was very much a, you know, I'm happy where I am in life, but I can easily beat myself up for the path that I took to get there. You know, there are times looking through this stuff, I wish that I could have diverted just a little bit to get to where I'm at, but maybe be a little bit happier. Or go back to 8th grade Shane or 12th grade Shane and just say, dude, you know, why didn't you just talk to that person in a certain way?
Or why didn't you start saving when you were 17?
Exactly. Yeah. Apple stock, it might be a good idea. Yeah. You should invest in it.
I mean, I hope anyone that could stumble across their old journals like you have, I really hope everyone would have the exact same reaction. Because if you don't, you're like the least self-aware person in the world, right? Like,
yeah. I was hoping you keep talking while I was drinking. Just literally stopped talking as soon as the moment of silence.
I was going to make a joke about, like, because when you were talking about, like, you started remembering all these mundane details.
Yeah.
I was like, you can now solve the Joseph Wetterling disappearance. Yeah.
So I will tell you.
It was Shane all along.
I'll tell you, as I was reading through it, I did discover a few things. Like, I have notes on historical events that happened. So
Jacob Wetterling. Did I say Joseph?
So the first thing, like in this notebook right here, I have a big journal entry on the Challenger space shuttle explosion. Like, we watched it in school, and then we wrote about it. So I had that.
Did you watch it live?
Yes, we watched it live.
Because I heard about it. We weren't watching it live, but then we saw recaps later.
So there was a guy in my 6th grade class that was a huge space nut. He was going to go to space camp and all that stuff. And it was kind of like the class was called High Achievers. It was like a gifted and talented class. So, of course, they're going to give you something that's going to be made fun of by everybody else in the school. We're going to point that out. But so we did a lot of special things. And one of the things we did was there was like a big space chapter in the class curriculum. And so that was one of the things we were going to do, was follow the process of the shuttle and then the launch. And then we watched it happen. So that was there. The beginning of the first Iraq war, I have that written in detail. And the fear that my dad was going to be pulled out of, you know, he was in the reserves at the time, so he would have had to go there. And he eventually did go to Germany in support. And then for the second war, he went to Kuwait to support that as well. So obviously that's further down the line.
I remember being at, I want to say Farmington High School, but maybe that wasn't it, but we were there for a one-act play competition when we heard news that we had started bombing Iraq, like Baghdad, back the first war, 91. Yeah. It was just, I remember that moment, hearing the news for the first time.
It was
a
huge deal. I mean, that was the first instance of war in our lifetimes.
Oh, absolutely.
And you were, I mean, you were 11 years old at the time, so maybe it wasn't quite as scary to you.
No, the thing that sticks out, the news thing that sticks out more in my mind because it happened during the school day was OJ's not guilty.
And so, like, that time period is covered in my journals, but I have gaps of time. And so as I was looking through there, that was one thing I'm like, I had to have written something about OJ. Because I remember watching the video or the feed of him driving down the freeway, stuff like that. I didn't cover that, but... So then I had other more personal things, like my sister was diagnosed with leukemia in sixth grade. So I have that covered in here.
Wow.
And that's some really painful stuff. You know, it's like my first real dealings with death and the possibility of not being alive. And then my grandmother dying as well. That I had stuff like that covered. So what I found interesting, though, is that I told Jared this as well, that I created narratives. Story narratives of my life over time, and I had very specific thoughts and beliefs of how things played out. For example, I had breakdowns with some of my friends in eighth grade, where people that I was very, very close with, and a lot of my insecurities of my life still, if you trace that pattern back, it goes back to that time where your friends turned on you and they, you know, kind of make you start thinking about stuff like that. I had very, very specific crystallized ideas of how that played out, how they were mean to me, and I never talked to those guys again, and I always, you know, for the life of me, and I even talked about this with some of those guys at my high school reunion, like, do you remember this? And they were like, no, I don't really remember this. I go back and look at the journal, and sure enough, it was not how I remembered it. I still hung out with those guys after, you know, there was many times like, oh, this, and this. So I just figured I was ostracized and I was never a part of their lives. So I don't know why I would do that, why I would change that in my brain.
So it was less of a clean break.
Yeah, it was less of a clean. It probably wasn't as bad as I thought it was. Maybe for a few weeks or for 6 months it was. But then things sort of normalized a little bit. I had another moment where I would have sworn my grandmother died in eighth grade. Like, I remember it very clearly. That was the time. I remember all the events that were connected to it. But looking back in my journal, she didn't die till 2 years later. I mean, I just totally time shifted things like that. That, like, why
human memory is why would I do that? Fallible.
Yeah. But then when I read it, it's like, oh, very, very clear. I remember that.
This is why eyewitness testimony is mostly bullshit.
Yeah. I mean, it goes to show you. Yeah. And so the other thing that came out of this was, and I've talked about this before, but I had a very, very serious relationship. I mean, I've only been in two serious relationships, and a good portion of my senior year, actually junior and senior year of high school, and then pretty much all of my college years were dedicated to this person that, you know, we dated in high school, and then she went off to California and I stayed here. And that's when my journals started getting very, very dark and unhappy, because at that time, all of my friends went off to college, either, you know, they lived on campus or they went to different places. And for me, the option was staying at the U and staying at home, or staying at home and going to Normandale Community College. That was my life. And I was really unhappy about that. Like, I wanted the ability to be my own person. So a lot of my college time was spent fighting that with my dad, and then also being sad that my girlfriend was long distance and she was off living her dream life, essentially. And, yeah, so my journals cover that. They cover her going off to international school internationally in Egypt. It goes off to sort of the first breakup that we have, leading up to me waiting for her to come back to America so I could totally let her have it, which was funny because we eventually got back together for another year, and then she broke up with me in long distance. And then so that was when the healing really had to begin. But it was very strange because... when I was going through that, I was very isolated. I wasn't really good friends with Jared at the time. We were sort of friendly, but
yeah,
it was later after that. And like I said, all of my friends from high school were either I didn't talk to, or we just didn't really have a good relationship, and that was mostly my fault. But so I was alone a lot, and I had tons of anxiety about, you know, how I was going to deal with this. And as soon as I started reading this stuff, and then with Carrie being gone and Audrey being gone, it was like everything just came back to me. All of that anxiety that I had spent years sort of dealing with and knowing full well when I was feeling it, was like, this is utterly meaningless. I mean, this is stuff that I went through years ago.
Yeah, why am I feeling
this again? I feeling this before? But I'm not kidding you guys. It like it lasted for a good week. Like and it took me a like.
Did you read through all of them?
I read through a lot of stuff.
Did you want to stop? But you're like,
yes, yeah, I did. And after I did it, I was like, I don't know if I can ever go back and look at this stuff.
Are we going to have a ceremony where we burn this?
No, I'm not going to burn
keep it.
No, I will definitely keep it in.
You know, in 10 years' time, you may want to look at it again.
have the same experience.
But seriously, like a month later, I went back and sort of looked at some of that stuff, and it wasn't quite as painful because, you know, I had Audrey with me and Carrie around me.
Good reminders that you've healed
yes.
and you've progressed in
have
life.
Have you shown it to either one of them?
I've talked about it. I wouldn't show
Allison
it.
And Christine or
yeah,
whatever her name
those
is.
Those two ladies. Yeah. I wouldn't necessarily do that. It's not, this stuff isn't as meaningful to Carrie, to be honest with you. Like I can talk to her about it, but since she wasn't there,
yeah.
it's, you know, it's probably more meaningful to the people that were in my life at the time.
So, how long have you had a Gmail address?
Years? I don't know.
So I've had one
since soon after they allowed anyone to get one.
So that was before your divorce, right?
Oh, I'm sure. Yeah.
Okay. So I had a similar experience.
Yeah.
And I was just going to like say to anyone listening that didn't happen to keep notebooks.
Sure.
Or if you're a kid or whatever, you know, you're in your 20s now and you've been emailing for 10 years.
Yeah.
Like before Gmail, I had a Yahoo account, Hotmail.
I still have Hotmail.
I had an ISP email address. I probably had a bunch. So some of those old ones, I can't go all the way back. But I've had a Gmail account since 2004. And I have, on occasion, because of something, read old emails,
yeah.
like to old girlfriends and stuff. I don't recommend it because I have each time I have the exact same feeling that you feel like
a shithead.
Yeah, even
yeah. Everything just, that was painful comes back.
There's like no, like I don't want to say it's not worthwhile because yeah. I think especially doing a journal is a worthwhile activity, and I think revisiting is worthwhile.
Sure.
Like if I had a kid to tell this to, yeah. And like you said with your daughter, like, you know, it's worth doing.
Sure.
For expression.
You won't
for
regret
everything.
Having it, I don't right. think, if you're a well-adjusted person
man,
in 25 years.
Yeah.
My first sent mails were August 23rd, 2005.
Okay.
And they were invitations to other people to open
okay.
Gmail accounts back when you had to get invited.
Yes. Yes. So, you could...
So it's been 10 years.
Yeah. You could go and see some, you know, like... Especially,
by the way, I'm a little terrified that this is still in here. Yeah. Like,
they've got everything. They've got you, Jared.
Yeah, like to go through those, you're just like, oh,
yeah.
Like there are people that I had relationships with. I was like, oh, I didn't even remember that. You know,
yep.
Like it's just bad. Yeah,
yeah. It's a very very strange thing, and you know, my breakup with my previous girlfriend, it was not a good breakup. It was I'm very much a guy who is about closure and sort of understanding why things happen. And I never really got that. It was just sort of one of those things where, you know, like I was explaining in the analogy before, as you get further away from it, it just becomes dimmer and dimmer until you don't. It just is gone. It just, you know, it's just not a part of your life. So you may not get the answers that you want, or you mm-hmm. may not get the closure that you want, but it doesn't matter because you're at a different place. But when you go back and you look at this stuff, it's like, seriously, it's just like a wind tunnel of all that stuff coming back. And it was difficult. And it, you know, I think with stuff like that, I always wanted to know why I was being put through that stuff. It was trying to get these answers of why would someone treat me that way? Why would I allow myself to be treated that way? And as I got older, I think the question just change from that to did it matter? You know, I think that's sort of if everything sure. in life, that's what it comes down to. Did it matter to you? Did it matter to her? You know, that time period in life, you want to feel like the stuff that you're involved in has meaning.
Yeah.
And so, you know, a lot of times you just sort of push that stuff away and you sort of inherently understand that or hope that your life does have meaning with other people, with your friends here and your family members, but sometimes you don't get those answers. And
Shane,
when you have to deal with that stuff,
we accept the love that we think we deserve.
I think that's it. I think that's exactly it.
Wow. Very poignant.
Thank you.
Who are you quoting?
Someone. It's definitely, it's not my own. It's not my own.
That
thing.
Is from Perks.
I think it's from Perks.
Perks
yeah.
of Being a Wallflower. Yes.
Yes.
And I tell you, the time period of Perks of Being a Wallflower is documented in these books.
It sort of makes me jealous. a little bit because I've never been much of a writer or documentarian. Yeah. I don't take snapshots of a lot of things. I sort of, and I'm not going to make some stupid excuse like, oh, I live in the now, I experience the moment as it's happening, any of that bullshit. I just, it's never been part of my character to sort of document my life in that fashion.
Sure.
So I don't have journals. There may have been some journals that for school you were required to do it, but I'm 100% positive that those have been lost.
So
in some transition, because my folks moved around a lot too, so stuff you just lose track of stuff.
You're not. Why would you keep something like that?
Did you ever have a live journal or?
Sure. Yeah. So I only have like the digital equivalents of it.
Yeah.
And that doesn't go back to childhood or anything like that. It's, you know, probably is late 20s, early 30s would probably be the as far back as it goes. So, yeah.
Yeah. I'm even
with those though, I've never been one to sort of like journal and lay it out. They're like, this, I'm going through this. This is how I feel in this moment. This is the experiences I'm going through. I've never been one to really do that.
Yeah.
So
I share the notion of jealousy that you do too. Cause same way, like I've just never, I don't know the effort that it just doesn't ever occur to me. And then friend of the show, Jess, I think she still journals like to this day. And she'll like send me a funny anecdote of like, hey, when I was 8, I wrote this funny thing. And it's just like,
to have that is
amazing.
Yeah,
I think that's really cool. Like but as an 8-year-old, I'm sure I would have been like, I don't care.
I just want to play with my Ninja Turtles.
Yeah. Why am I ever going to want to care about what I thought when I was 8? And it's like, I can imagine trying to tell a kid that, like, hey, you should journal. In 20 years, you'll think it's
They'll
really
roll their eyes at you.
It's not, it's not only what were you thinking at the age, but how were you thinking at that age? Like, what was important to you? What sort of cognitive processes were you even capable of at that age? Like, and how would that get filtered then through the writing process to be documented? Like, there's just so many layers you could peel back and just get an insight into human condition.
I can tell you guys something. In my 8th grade journal, I have a big entry, and they're talking about how, and this defines my character today, about how I miss the good old days. In 8th grade, I talk about, I really miss 5th grade. And I still, to this day, I love 5th grade, but I was already reminiscing in 8th grade. I read it and I go, boy, this is so typically me to even write that.
Do you have anything in there that you looked at that you were like, oh, this like helps describe my something today? Like, were there like political views in there that you either shared today or are completely opposite?
I don't know. I think that a lot of the stuff in here kind of reaffirms, you know, the person I am today. I don't think that I'm that different in a lot of ways. I mean, it's strange, you know? I mean,
very racist, just like you were back then.
Well, they call them your formative years for one reason. It's sort of the era that you become who you are.
I think the anxieties and sort of the personal tics that I have today, which are much easier dealt with as you're older. I mean, you can see them happening in here. You can see
as they say, you run out of fucks to give.
Yeah. Yeah. I think about, you know, when I was going through this, like, what if I were single today? You know, not that I would want to be, but what if I were? Would I be able to?
What would be on your Tinder profile?
Would I be able to handle my life any differently than I did back when I was 20-something? And I'm like, I don't know if I would be able to, if you think about it, because, you know, I think that oftentimes you think more than what you are, what you're capable of, especially with stuff like that. So I would have to step outside of that insecure guy that's scared to talk to girls and figure something out. I mean, me meeting Carrie in that time period, I mean, Jared was there. It was a very weird convergence of events where sort of everything went right.
Yeah.
And then even after it went right, I was still sort of scared to follow through on it. And it took somebody else to push us together again before it turned out. I mean, it was just one of those weird cosmic things.
Yeah. Was that John Bon Jovi?
Yes. So, I mean,
you take my hand, Shane. I'm going to show you the way.
So and my life is filled with crushes or some crushes or just, you know, romantic events that I was just too scared. Like practically a year before I started dating my first serious girlfriend, I was talking about it. And all I would have had to say is, hey, we should go out to see a movie. And that would have changed everything. Mm-hmm. Literally, it would.
Maybe it doesn't amount to anything, but at least you took the chance.
Yeah. And I
know. You think back at those scenarios now as an adult, and you're like, why didn't I just do something?
Yeah, why was I so
what was
scared
I,
to
what's
going to
happen? If I get turned down, am I going to get like crushed by a rock from space? No.
I mean, back in those days, we didn't have to worry about money or jobs as much. I mean, it's much easier to deal with. You weren't worrying about death for the most part. You weren't worrying about the longevity of your life. I mean, right. The problems of youth are absolutely, you know,
are
generally speaking,
on the youth.
They are. They're yes. easily solvable. And if you could just be matter of fact and honest and open about stuff, your life would probably be much easier.
Yeah. But those problems are all relative,
too. But
they're
all relative, exactly. I mean, you have no frame of reference.
In that moment, those are the worst problems you've ever dealt with. And, of course, they're going to be traumatic.
Yes.
But then as you, you know, go fast forward 20, 30 years, you're like, well, I've dealt with divorce. I've dealt with crippling debt. I've dealt with death of family and friends. I've dealt with all of these terrible things. Those things are minor in comparison. Why was I so scared?
Yeah.
And this is why we should get rid of child labor laws so that they learn early.
Right. Exactly. They should know that when they lose an arm in a threshing machine, that's just life.
Exactly. That is life. And that's the way it should be.
They still use threshing machines?
Of course they do. They're everywhere. They're everywhere. So yeah, this was like
the cotton gin.
My most interesting historical discovery of the summer. It's kind of fun because, you know, I like to do, you know, get my photos and videos. And I've got other videos stuff, too, that kind of tie into this. But now I can actually put dates to some photos. There are things that I've had pictures of for years I didn't have context. Now they have context in here.
Mm-hmm.
So it'll be fun to kind of put this stuff together. And I don't know what I'll do with these journals. Like, I actually considered typing them up and having something or, you know, I'd like, do I need to go through that? I don't, you know, what do I need to...
I mean, if you're going to do something, you should scan them.
Yeah.
Right, so that they're still in the actual way that they are.
But...
At least get some of those fancy archivist gloves so you don't soil the pages too much.
I would never get rid of them, but I just... Yeah, I don't know. I think, again, it goes back to, is there meaning in life? And me constructing a timeline and putting all this stuff together, what does it mean? Is it meaningful to me and other people? I just don't know what I want to do with it. But I'm absolutely glad I have them, even though it was a really shitty week for me. Like, and then me being angry at myself for feeling a way that I haven't felt in seriously 20 years and allowing that to happen. And then go like, I got a house. I've got a beautiful wife. I've got a great kid. I've got a job. I've got good friends. Why am I letting, you know,
I'm white.
Drama? I'm white. I'm a white male. I can do what I want
to
do.
I can basically coast the rest of my life and be okay.
Why am I letting this bother me?
And society will take care of me.
I'll be okay. And you know what? It's probably going to be okay till I die because things aren't going to change that fast. So, suck it.
We're going to fast forward 14 months from this episode, and Donald Trump has been elected, and then
I'll be writing journals of sadness again.
Huge landslide.
Huge.
It's huge.
All right, guys. So there we go. That's our scope. Catch them up. I think it's been insightful. It's been meaningful.
Mm-hmm.
And Adam is a college grad, so good for you.
It's my favorite episode we ever did.
Terrific. So let's take a quick break. We'll be back with more Scope right after this.
We now return to the Scope, just for the hell of it.
Under the Scope.
All right, guys, we are back with Under the Scope, but more importantly, coming soon. Adam, kick it.
All right. So we've got music. Another big week of releases. We've got an album from Avicii.
Blitzen. Avicii is back.
Yeah. Blitzen
More
Trapper.
Banjo and techno music mixed
Why not?
Together. Does Amanda like Avicii?
I've never asked her.
You
Why
should?
Not?
We don't talk very often.
Oh.
She's too busy mastering Rocket League.
Rocket League.
Rocket League, yep. Did I not
say
that?
I know that's no, it muted out for some reason.
Gotcha.
Blitzen Trapper, Clutch. Ah, Jared, I know that this was no Shane. This
yes.
is your week for
it is my week.
It.
Yes.
And you missed a good one here.
Uh oh,
you missed a good one.
A new album from Collective Soul.
Oh!
How did you not have that as your hit?
I liked Collective Soul.
I liked
some of it. Yeah. Now we're going to get tagged.
Gel, not even the top 10 songs.
I like later Collective Soul, actually.
I do, too.
They did a duet with Elton John later on that I really actually liked, believe it or not.
An album?
No, just a song, yeah.
Have you guys gotten into this black metal trend?
Nope.
No.
Genre? Okay, well, Deaf Heaven has an album coming out there. One of the
have you? Are you saying you're into
it? Metal? No,
oh, okay.
Like Deaf Heaven.
Us, why are we not
Deaf
trendy?
Heaven in particular? Like they were picked as like one of the top albums two or three years ago by a lot of critics. And I tried listening to it, and it's just screamcore. It's just dudes yelling. I don't. It's like nothing's made me feel older. Well, lots of things have, but Eagles of Death Metal, not an actual death metal band. Editors.
Are they actual Eagles?
No.
Well, I mean, that's just lying through and through.
Right.
No Eagles, no death metal.
What's his face from Queens of the Stone Age is in Eagles of Death Metal.
Yeah.
The tall guy.
The redhead. The ginger. Redhead.
Yeah. His name's almost on in my brain. The Editors have a new album. Editors, part of that Interpol, Joy Division type resurgence that kind of sort of happened. I think the Editors were probably under Interpol.
Scary, sad, electronic.
Yeah. Janet Jackson. Music.
Have as their name of their album To the Editors? Or Letters to the Letters? No. Editors to the Letters? That's what I would do.
I'll let them know.
I'm going to cut that out.
Seven Dust. Did you guys hear Janet Jackson?
I heard it.
Tamar Braxton. All right, movies.
Are you just saying words over there?
Yeah, like what is going on?
It's Tony Braxton's son?
Oh.
Tony Braxton's son, I think.
Okay.
I'm not really up on the Braxton family.
So you don't watch the show?
No.
They have a reality show.
Oh, I don't. Is it Project Runway or Top Model? Then I don't watch
it. It is the Braxtons or something. Braxton Family Values. I don't know.
Yeah.
I'm not interested in reality shows that are just cult of personality tapes.
Is this all the Osbournes' fault?
Yeah.
It probably is, right?
Do you hear that they were approached them to do another season of the Osbournes but didn't want to pay him enough?
They wanted more cash.
All right, movies. We've got Freeheld. This is the Julianne Moore, Ellen Page movie.
Mm-hmm.
We've got Legend. That's the Tom Hardy movie that I don't know if you guys saw the controversy on the internet a couple weeks ago, but it got mostly good reviews, but The Guardian in the UK gave it 2 stars. But
yeah, I saw that.
The poster shows the 2 stars. But
hidden
it's
in
like,
plain sight.
Yeah, between,
very clever.
Between 2 characters. So it looks like it would be 4 stars like all the other ones.
It was very smart.
Yeah.
Smartly done, boys.
Cheating.
Girls.
Macbeth. This is starring Noah. Oh, Michael Fassbender's in this one. That's right.
What's that about?
You're not supposed to say the name, are you? I mean, isn't that like a thing in
Beetlejuice,
the theater?
Beetlejuice, Beetlejuice?
No, you're not supposed to say Macbeth. You're supposed to say, what is it, the Danish play or something? There's a term for it.
I did not know that.
Also, The Walk. This is the JGL, Robert Zemeckis movie. JGL being Joseph Gordon-Levitt, I'm sure we all know. Juggle. Hit Record Joe on Twitter.
Yeah.
At Hit Rec Joe.
Hit Rec Joe.
Just married a very smart lady.
All right.
Ben Kingsley also in that one. Home releases.
The Scottish play. That's it. You say the Scottish play. You don't say Macbeth. In the theater.
Did
not
you
film,
know?
You're fine.
Did you guys know that if it's not Scottish, it's crap?
I've heard that before.
Okay.
Have we attributed that to a source yet? Is that just like old wives' tale?
I believe that it's just an old wives' tale. Okay. The Entourage movie. Unexpected.
Yeah. Let's get it.
Poltergeist. Spy. You guys saw Spy, right?
Yes. We did.
You liked it?
Yes.
Yeah, it was very good.
We liked it better than we definitely thought we would.
Very good. This is funny. You should put that on your list.
Putting it on my list.
Okay. Right after Entourage movie, right?
Yeah, obviously. But that one I already got.
I will probably watch that once it hits HBO just because I've seen the entire series and I'll just want to see the movie.
Sure.
But I will not pay money for
it. I won't hold that
for
against
them
you,
today's.
Jay.
Aloft, Christine, and Avengers 2.
Electric Boogaloo.
We'll be buying that.
Yeah, I probably will too. I still don't understand why people hate that movie.
Oh,
I don't get it at all.
Marvel released a featurette for Avengers 2,
no.
Age of Ultron. It's a 22-minute long featurette, and it explains the stones. And people on the internet are saying like, oh, they should have done this in the movie. Like, found a way to do it because like it's a really good explanation of
the Infinity Gems.
Yeah, Infinity Gems. Yeah.
Would it be weird just to cut away to a 20-minute documentary?
Well, no.
Tony Stark in front of a chalkboard writing it up.
It's Tony Stark. He's like, time to relax a little bit. And he turns on the TV and then the camera zooms in and you watch that.
So, Infinity Stones. What do they mean?
Like, maybe he snaps his knuckles and goes back like this.
He eats some popcorn. Mm-hmm. It's like MST3K. You actually see him watching it the whole time.
Mm-hmm.
Trying to touch the gems.
That would be a really odd thing to do in the second act, but I'd be for it.
I think that'd be kind of
director's cut, maybe?
Video games, we've got NBA Live 16.
No.
This is written by Spike Lee.
It looks good.
Written by Spike Lee.
A basketball game written by Spike
Lee. One of the YouTubers I follow is so excited. He actually got to go out to 2K Studios this week, as of this recording, to visit the studio and play the game, I guess. So
wow.
He's a huge NBA 2K15. Well, 2K everything. He's been playing it for years, and now he's very excited about the new one.
That seems
it's
like
important
a good
to
thing.
Know that that game has the best create a player mode. Mm-hmm. And in that mode, it's like a role-playing game. It's a story.
Yeah.
It's written by Spider-Man.
And they have a pretty cool, like, My Career mode, too, where you get to, like, open these card packs and you get, like, players at different tiers and you can, like, build your team with historic players.
So now Jared's into wrestling and the NBA. What is going on here?
No. I'll watch him play it, but I'm not going to play it myself. I've purchased exactly one basketball video game in my entire life.
That was probably on the Dreamcast.
And it was the Dreamcast, NBA 2K, whatever. I was terrible at it, and I've never.
That's because you know
since.
Why you were terrible at it. Hmm. Randy Moss wasn't in it.
Lakers versus Celtics and all those other EA ones. I was much more competitive at, but once it got more realistic, I was done for.
I think I remember Jared NBA pitching a hissy fit on those when I would beat him up. But
yeah,
and we play Choo Choo Rocket, and then he would get a knife out and try to kill me.
I've had an idea. I want to do. I literally want to do a Scope Gaming YouTube channel, and I think one of the games we should play is some Choo Choo Rocket.
Well, if we can find a Dreamcast.
Yeah.
Well, isn't it available on other things?
Yeah, but you've got to have a Dreamcast.
It's like available on iPad, but you can't. That's not the same.
You've got to have a controller. Yeah.
We'll work out the logistics later, but
I'm
I think
sure
it would
we
be
can
fun.
Find a Dreamcast and Choo Choo Rocket somewhere.
I think we could do some sort of co-op and competitive gaming amongst the three of us and other guests.
Puzzle Fighter, too?
We could play whatever we want.
Puzzle Fighter would be a good one. Except I can't see the colors.
Just think about it.
We call it the Ruining Friendships video game channel, because that's what it would be.
I think it could be entertaining. So
by the way,
think
guys,
about it.
I'm thinking.
I messed up. That's NBA Live 16 is the EA game.
Yeah. NBA 2K16.
NBA 2K16 also comes out that week.
Competition.
This week, so, fun. I think this might be the first year that NBA Live has a release in the last 3 years, because they kept making it
and
it was terrible.
They were not releasing it.
Check this out. Second microphone.
Wow, look at that.
It doesn't do anything. It's not plugged in.
Oh, it looked like it was.
Lego Dimensions.
Mm-hmm. That could be a hit.
Is that the open world Lego game?
That's the Skylanders Lego game.
Oh, that's what that is, right.
Isn't there like a Lego World one, like an open world game?
Yes. Lego Adventures.
Online,
yeah. I don't know. It was weird. I think it was not well something. And then a bunch of, I don't know, Persona 4.
Who cares games?
Yeah, games.
Who cares games?
Nothing big.
All right.
Hey, have you guys been to The Source since it moved?
Nope.
No.
Speaking of games?
Nope.
Man.
Big?
There are so many board games in that store. I don't remember.
We've been playing a lot of board games.
Board games
lately.
Are hot.
What have you been playing?
Exploding Kittens just this past weekend.
Should we start adding board games to this list?
If they've got some notable releases. Yeah.
I think we should add some board games to our Scope Gaming channel.
Do you guys like playing board games?
We have been playing a lot of them lately.
Yeah.
Like what else other than Exploding
Splendor
Kittens?
Splendor is the other game.
Splendid?
Splendor.
Oh, Splendor, the gem one.
Yeah.
Yep.
Okay.
Biblios, we play that.
All right.
And then Pop-O-Matic Trouble.
Yeah. Now I've got like Quirkle. We play that sometimes.
Okay. Maybe we should just transition to all board game stuff. We'll take on the Dice Tower and it'll
Jared,
be flawless.
This is just an excuse for Jared to think of some sort of top-mounted camera.
I've got enough cameras now. I have three camcorders, two mirrorless Canon cameras, and I just bought a Panasonic G7.
Humble bragging.
I've got a lot of cameras, is what I'm saying.
What we could do
I should do something with them all.
We could How about build we do hit it
table.
Or miss it?
Oh.
Hit it or miss it.
We'll talk about this offline.
Hit it or miss it. Miss of the week. Look out!
It is my turn to pick it. Greater Garbage, Jared. This is great. I just finished the book. It is The Martian, Ridley Scott, Matt Damon. Who else?
Drew Goddard wrote it.
Give me the list. You're
Jeff
right.
Jeff Daniels, Kristen Wiig, Sean Bean. Does he die in this too?
No.
Jessica Chastain.
Mm-hmm.
Donald Glover.
Mm. Donald Glover? Donnell?
It says Donald Glover on this. Kate Mara, Michael Pena, Sebastian Stan, Mackenzie Davis.
Wow.
Oscar
the Winter Soldier's in here.
Oh, you're thinking of Chiwetel Ejiofor.
Damn it. Chiwetel Ejiofor.
There you go.
Anyway, the book.
Or Ejiofor. I got the accent wrong.
The book is a page turner. It's about.
How many pages?
A near future, 350 pages, but it's very fast. It's very fast.
What if you're a slow reader? Is it still fast?
It's still fast because they have a lot of like little journal entries, so things are broken up. It's not just page after page. But about a guy that gets stuck on Mars and his effort to try to get home.
Yeah.
And it's very, very good.
It's the trailer to me makes it feel like Star Trek 3 a little bit. If you're familiar with the plot of Star Trek 3,
they have
to steal the Enterprise to go back to the Genesis planet to rescue Spock.
And
I believe in this movie, they have to steal a spaceship to go back to Mars to rescue their friend.
Well, I'm going
to
tell you that if
the trailer is to be believed.
If that is the case, then they are definitely switching some of the plots of the story.
Wow, that's
book.
What the trailer does.
Yeah, I know.
Who knows if the trailer's right?
Yeah, I'm very curious to see how close this this falls into the book's narrative. Whoa, Jared, hitting microphone.
I'm very curious to see how close I get to the microphone, apparently.
Right on top of it. So there you go. The Martian, Ridley Scott, in theaters, coming.
You put a funny extra syllable in his name. I like that.
What, Ridley?
Yeah.
Ridley Scott? Ridley Scott? Ridley Scott. Gushers.
Under the scope.
Time to wrap it up, guys. Shane's writing down extra syllables in Ridley.
Yeah.
So this is the part of the program where we talk about your comments. Nothing from you guys this time around, but I think we brought up some interesting topics this episode that we'll get some feedback on. Were you guys journalers? Did you keep track of your childhood events?
Yeah.
Have you gone back to look at them if you have?
Send us your journals.
Send us your oldest email.
Maybe just some key moments where you maybe, like Shane had, where he thought he remembered how things went down, but then once he had the proof,
he had to
admit that he did not remember it. And
I remembered it wrong.
Human memory is fallible. Or maybe you'd like to talk about what you would think about a Scope Gaming channel. Would you watch us? Would you watch us play video games? Would you watch us play board games? Would you? Could you? With a mouse. Write in at comments@thescopeshow.com. Call the voicemail line 612-21-SCOPE, 612-217-2673, or hit us on social media, Facebook, Twitter, and Tumblr. All those links are on our website. Not shite, a site.
Web-shite.
It is a bit of a web-shite still, but we're getting there. That is thescopeshow.com, or if you're watching on YouTube, comment right down below. Don't forget to like this episode.
Don't forget.
Share with a friend. If you'd like to support the show directly,
yes,
you can become a Patreon patron. It's patreon.com/thescopeshow. You can pledge as little as $1 an episode, and you get all of like the review episodes for free. Everyone does, but we don't charge for those. Just the main episodes. You can set a monthly cap, cancel anytime, and there are some perks at the bottom of the page if you'd like to increase your level of support to get some extra love from us.
Yeah.
If you're shopping, you're buying some stuff, maybe you're stocking up the pantry with oatmeal to go. That's what we like to do in our home. Or you've just you want to buy one of those new releases we talked about, shop at Amazon. Go to thescopeshow.com/Amazon, click on the affiliate link. Small part of your purchase goes into our pocketbook to pay for our bandwidth and our equipment and our brand new Scope Gaming channel on YouTube.
Jared has decided we are doing that channel.
And it doesn't cost you anymore.
And we've got 3 episodes already filmed.
It's only been just over a year since I thought we were going to start our weekly news show. So I'm sure that gaming channel is right around the corner.
Hey, we've got all the equipment for the
news. I know. You guys got microphones at your houses. We've never even done a test. I'm going to rekindle that at some point, but we'll see. We'll see how much you guys are involved. I mean, I'm just doing it myself. Anyway, back to you, Shane.
All right. So, terrific show, guys. Thanks for indulging me on my trip down memory lane. I think we'll probably have a little break here, but the Scope will be back soon.
We've got a lot of new TV to watch.
We do. We've got a lot to talk about. So, for Jared and Adam, I am Shane. Thanks for watching. Thanks for listening. More Scope coming at you very soon. Bye for now.
Ladies and gentlemen, we find ourselves once again at the end. I hope you've enjoyed our time together. I know I have. Fear not, Scope faithful. Days shall pass as if they were but a moment. And Jared, Adam, and Shane will return with another thrilling episode. Until then, send your comments to comments@thescopeshow.com or leave a voicemail message by dialing
612-21-SCOPE. That's 612-217-2673.
Thanks for listening, faithful fans. This is Tony Partington saying, arrivederci. Tune in next time to another terrific edition of The Scope.